Amen. We're going to continue today as we're getting close to bringing this series to an end on who is the Father. Now, we have started out with who is the Holy Spirit. We talked several weeks on who the Holy Spirit was and the role of the Holy Spirit in our life and how it empowers us. And the Holy Spirit gives us many gifts to the church, and that we are to pray and seek after the gifts of the Holy Spirit and allow those gifts to be operating in our life. How many know it's Christmas time is getting close to hand that we're not going to leave any gift unopened this year, are we? How many know your kids are going to leave any gift unopened? Matter of fact, when all the trees are already unwrapped, I mean, all the gifts are unwrapped in the tree, they're going to be looking, make sure. You sure there's not one more? You know, you sure? My kids are used to me hiding maybe one gift somewhere and bringing it out later, so they're kind of used to that by now. So they're looking around. You sure there's not any more gifts? They want to make sure they have every gift opened up, right? And that's the same attitude it should be with us when it comes to the Holy Spirit, that we know that we want to open every gift the Holy Spirit has for us. Every good gift that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit for our life is to what? Is to teach us, to train us, to empower us to do things we cannot do on our own. And the Holy Spirit is to communicate to us, to bring all knowledge to us, and to reveal things from the heavenlies into our heart and in our midst. And so today I encourage you to continue to get up every morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Today it's you and I that we are learning to develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit. We went right out of that, who is the Holy Spirit, into what? Who is the Son? And we talked about Jesus and the humanity of Jesus and the godness of Jesus and everything he is, that we have a Father who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. But more than dying on the cross for us, he's a Savior that we can relate to, that he's walked in our shoes. He knows what it means to feel pain and rejection and hurt. He knows what it means to work hard, and he knows what it means to go through family problems. He knows what it means to have your family think you're crazy. He knows what it means to have your family dysfunctional. He understands these things. He knows what it means to be talked about falsely. And so he's went through all these things that we have. And so when we talk with our Savior, we know this one thing, that he understands what we're talking about. Because the Word of God says that he is an advocate for us, that he is understanding. He gives us compassion. We started talking about who is the Father. And we're looking at the Father. And we're looking at his goodness. The Father is what? The Father is good. How many know God is good, isn't he? But the first time he kicked off with this series, the Father is good. And Scripture teaches that at the very essence, at the very core of God, is the word goodness. And it comes out of him and everything that he does, from all creation to you and I, to his mercies, to his blessings, to his grace, that is all given to us. Because why? Because God is simply good. That is who he is. He can't be anything else. He is God. He is goodness. It comes out of him. That's what he showed Moses when Moses said, God, show me your glory. He says that God passed by him and what? Unveiled and showed him his goodness. And we've been looking at the goodness of God, at the mercies of God, the justice of God. We've looked at the love of God. We looked at the God Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Today I want to talk to you about who is the Father, that the Father is Abba, that the Father is Abba. And this word Abba is the word that we get the word daddy from. And today we're going to talk about this word Abba. And even though I believe today may be one of the more simplistic messages we preach in the series as far as its nature, its application, I believe, is the most complex in our life. Because even though the message is simplistic, the application is complex, and it's evident everywhere we look around that one of the things in our life that we see in this generation, our generation especially, is that we lack a connection with our Father. We lack connections with our parents. It was comedian Louis Anderson. You guys know the big comedian Louis Anderson, a very, very popular comedian. He wrote a book called Dear Dad. In this book, Dear Dad, he writes in a comedic form about his relationship with his father. And really, his father was a very abusive dad and an alcoholic. And in his own comedic way, he's therapeutically trying to work his way through his bad relationship with his father. And he was one of 11 children. And he just uses a humorous look at trying to cope with the abusive nature and the lack of a solid relationship with his father. And our whole society does this. We try to learn how to deal with it. How do we deal with a look back at the past? And for many of us, if we really look back at the past, at a childhood, of early childhood of our fathers and even maybe sometimes even mothers, that we see that there's a lack there. Even those parents who maybe were home, maybe they were abusive or a lack. Even though we were there, they didn't bring the solid foundation that we needed. Or maybe they were raised even in a Christian home such as I, but maybe you just didn't get everything you really needed. And you had those parents who just simply abandoned you. several songs have been written by this, and you see this all throughout. Every generation seems to write, and there's a group called Everclear that wrote a song about the lack of a father. He says, "Daddy, you gave me the last name, but then you just left me. That's all you gave me. You gave me a last name, but you just left me." And talking about the struggles of a father, and the lack of the father in his life, and you know, it's something that's always so real. It's one of the most prevalent issues in our society today is a lack of relationship with our father. And we're talking about our physical father. And I believe it pours over into our spiritual father. We come from broken homes. We have rejection, abandonment from a father. And then we have a matter of wanting to be affirmed by our father. We want to be affirmed. We want to be led by our father. We want to be speak into our life. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, what language you speak, what race you're from. This is an issue that is so core at the relevant of who we are. It's this relationship with our father that we all can see this throughout society around the world, that how a lack of a father can affect the way we are. That many people that if they didn't have a father who affirmed them, that they work extra hard, and you've heard millionaires speak in their 70s and 80s about what still drives you. And I've seen millionaires who've done interviews, and they say, you know what really drives me is I'm still trying to look for my father's acceptance. I'm still trying to earn that affirmation. And they can't earn enough money to get that affirmation that simply a father could do by saying, son, I believe in you. Son, you've done a good job. Son, I'm proud of you. Because they didn't have a father in their life. They continue to work 70, 80 years old and have millions and millions of dollars, and still they can't get affirmation. It's something that's very prevalent. I've seen a story the other day. You ever seen that show? It's called The Locator. It's a new show out, and it's a guy who helps locate adoptive parents with people who maybe have lost someone, and they help reconnect these children looking for the adoptive parents. And one of these young men was a pro football player. He played for the Baltimore Ravens, and he was a big lineman. I can't remember his name, but he was a big 6 foot. I think he was 6 foot seven. He looked like he weighed about 325, 30 pounds. Big offensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens. And he sat there with this guy in a multi-million-dollar estate. I mean, he had several sports cars and Escalades and all this sitting out in the driveway. I mean, he had the Harleys. He had everything. You know, you can imagine. He's walking his home. It was just awesome. And he sat there as a locator coming in to talk to him about the first time about finding his father. And that man sat there and just cried like a baby. He says, you know, I played sports thinking that if I was good enough, my father would come and find me. And never... All-State didn't do it. Being an All-American didn't do it. Getting a college scholarship, becoming an All-American in college, none of that ever did it. Being an NFL, still, yeah, I don't know anything about my father. My father's never come to find me, never come to look for me. And a man sat there with his wife at his side and just bawled his eyes out like a teddy bear, man. Just bawled his eyes out because he couldn't. He's still looking somewhere. He's looking for an affirmation from his father and all the rewards given to him by society, all the things that the NFL and college football had given him. He still was so empty because he was lacking a relationship with his father. And I believe today that we see this everywhere. It was John Eldridge who wrote in the book Sacred Romance. He wrote this and said that really that all men are asking these questions. All men are asking these questions. Am I adequate? Do I have what it takes? All women are asking these questions. That's similar. They're asking, am I beautiful? Do you want me? Am I desirable? These are questions that every one of us are asking, that all men and women were looking. We look for affirmation from our moms, but primarily we were looking for it from our dads. That's what we're looking at from it from. We can receive affirmation from our moms, and that's good. We need that from our mother, but we primarily get our affirmation as a man looking for that. And as a woman, we're looking for that from our father. And so having a father in your home who was maybe didn't give affirmation, or you have a father who just walked out on you and your family, or a father who is abusive, it can leave you very empty inside. So you begin to overachieve, and you can never have a solid relationship in your marriage. And you're always looking for something because all these things. Now, what I like to call it, we got a parent hangover. We got a parental hangover. We got a hangover left over from the way we was raised up. And let me say this, no matter, even if you came from a Christian home, that many times you can still have a parent hangover. You still got things, even though your parents maybe were raised in church, because of the way they were raised, they just didn't have the tools. And they were never taught the way to really communicate to you and love you the way that you need to be loved. And so we see this happening. This is such an evident in all of our lives, in everyone's life, this need to be accepted and affirmed from our Father. To accept us, to lead us, to guide us. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home with a mom and dad who loved me and many times over showed that to me. But my father was a father who was raised by depression parents, and he was one of 11 children as well, and he was one of the younger ones. And by the time my father was born, my grandfather had a illness, and he had to amputate the bottom half of one of his legs, so he couldn't work, and so he's actually at home. And so my father reaped the benefits of that he actually got to spend a lot of time with his father. And the rest of my aunts and uncles didn't really know their dad because he was always working. He was always in that generation of you can never get enough. You've always got to take the work and work and work. And he worked from sun up to sundown every night. And then, you know, just didn't have a relationship with his kids. But my father was good enough to have, fortunate to have a decent relationship with his father. And so, therefore, he passed it on to me, and we had a good relationship, even though he didn't necessarily know how to express some things to me the way he maybe he should have, in a way that he should have. He tried, and I see that. My mother was a different story. She was raised in a home that where she was probably tossed around 25 to 30 times growing up. And it wasn't until she was 18, passed from home to home, that she made her way from California out to Oklahoma to live with an aunt who was a Christian and brought her into the church. And she was saved there and then met my father later. And so my mom went from a dysfunctional home into a Christian home, trying to have a Christian home. So she's trying to bring Christian values, but yet she's working through all the baggage of a very abusive and very abandonment herself. And so all these things mixed together, I can say that there's a lot of things in my life that I can look at and say, you know what, there's some things that just didn't go together the way it should have. But you know what, my parents loved me, and I know that, and I did the best they could. And all of us, some of us here, that's the way we are. We got parents who did the best they could, and we know and we realize that because they were products of their environment. And as I get older, I can look back and I can see that and know this is why my father was hard on me. I can understand this is why my mother did some of the things she did, because I see the product of the way they were raised and know I am a product of that as well. And so we look back and if we're not careful, we take that and we relate that into our father and to our mother, and we can take that relationship and we try to collate that into our Christian walk. That when I talk about God being our father, he is our Abba Father, that we have a hard time understanding that because basically we can't relate to that. We can't relate to that. We can't relate to God being our father. We see so many absentee dads and a lack of affirmation that people just can't perceive this idea that God is really our father. So many times our perceptions of God have been conditioned and based upon our experiences with our earthly fathers and mothers, that our parents, that we have this approach of making God our spiritual father, that we really have a hard time with it because we don't understand the earthly concept. And so therefore, if we can't understand the earthly concept because it was skewed, because it was from abuse or it was from neglect, there was a lack of it or wasn't present or whatever reason was, it translates into our heavenly father. When God says, I want to be your heavenly father, we're like, yeah. You know, there's people who say this is the very statement that, you know, I've heard this said before. That God wants to be your father. If he's anything like my earthly father, man, I don't want to have anything to do with him. If God is anything like my earthly father, I don't want to have anything to do with him. Because he wasn't there. He abandoned me. And they've done studies time and time again. And they've studied, and they've always studied, even one atheist, some of the great atheists who have written and led the atheist movement, go back and study these guys and study these people. And you look in their life, and every one of them, I guarantee you, every one of them you can go and find where they had a lack of a father in their life, or they had a lack of a very abusive situation in their life. And it caused them to collate, not being able to believe in a God. It caused them to collate. They could not believe that God could be our father. They come to believe in atheism because their childhood was such a traumatic effect in their life. And we can look at it. They say Hitler and Stalin and all these guys, they all come from a very abusive homes and a lack of father. There's something about them that skewed their relationship, that it changed who they are. And they had this parent hangover. And I believe all of us here many times can have a parental hangover. And oftentimes our experiences of our earthly dads affect the way we view God and our heavenly father. Well, I grew up in a home that my dad was angry. So we see God is angry. Well, I grew up in a home where my dad was absent. He was gone. He abandoned me. So I don't see God as a person who can be there every day. How can I have a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit every day when I can't see the person who's there because my own parents, they abandoned me. They left me. And so we grow up with this thing. If my father was passive, we see God as passive. And we have this mind and this concept in our mind of God relating to the way we relate to our father. So fill in the blank. My father never gave me blank. If you can fill that, every one of us here, we can fill in different answers. Some of them are very similar. Some of them may be different. My father never gave me what? Maybe he never gave me acceptance. Maybe my father never gave me affirmation. Maybe my father never gave me security. Maybe he never gave me boundaries. Maybe he never gave me discipline. What did your father not do? And today, you got to ask yourself, are you taking that and throwing it into the face of God? Are we taking that and throwing it to God? Look what Psalms 27:10 says. Though my father and my mother forsake me, what? The Lord will receive me. Today, I want you to hear this again. We're going to read it again. I want you to read it with me. Let's read it together. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will, what? Receive me. Some of you need to hear that today and really take it in. That no matter what has happened in your father and your mother, that even though they may have been people who forsaken you, maybe they abandoned you, maybe you had great parents. It doesn't make a difference. It says the Lord will, what? Will receive me. The Lord receives me. And that's a promise that we have as Christians today, that God will and does receive us. And we cannot throw that on God. God, you won't receive me because my dad didn't receive me. God, I can't have this relationship with you that's personal because my dad wasn't personal. God, I can't receive affirmation from you because my own father never gave me affirmation. No, it says God will receive you. God will. What's to receive? It means he will embrace me. He will accept me. He will take me. Why did Jesus die on the cross? First of all, he died on the cross to what? Forgive us of our sins. He died on the cross to pay the penalty that we deserve to pay as he stood in our place as a sacrifice. But why else did he die on the cross? Look at this passage this morning. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You got to read this. Listen to me. We're not going to use a lot of scripture today, but I want you to really soak in like a sponge the scripture we're reading. We did not receive the spirit of bondage. So today, many of you have been held bondage by a childhood trauma or childhood lack of affirmation. Or maybe you grew up in a Christian home, but the parents still didn't have the training they needed to give you the solid affirmation you needed. Maybe your dad was always working, or your parents were always busy, even though you know they loved you, but they didn't show it the way that you really needed. Or maybe you were totally abandoned. Doesn't make a difference. You are not bonded. Look, you are not held to that bondage again. God has not called you to walk in a fear of your childhood. God has not called you to walk in fear of a lack of or lack not of a relationship with a father. God has set you free. Look what he says. We're not bondage again to fear, but he has received what? We have received the spirit of adoption. Now, when we see this here, when Paul, we see this being written, we know that he's been talking a lot about in the Roman church. He's talking to the Roman church, and the Romans were very big in adoption these days. And when he's talking about adoption, we know that he is talking about a thing that is legally done where you sever the past. First of all, in the Romans, when they did an adoption, it was a thing that says, we cancel out the past. You are no longer held to the debt of that father. You're no longer held to the debt of that family, and now you are going to receive a full inheritance of this new family. And you walk in every privilege they have. You walk in every privilege. It says today, we walk in the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba means daddy. It's a term of endearment. It simply means daddy. The God is our daddy, man. Who's your daddy? It's God. That's your daddy. That's who it is. Our Father is Abba Father. That's where I get my affirmation from. Because when he looks at me, he says, you're beautiful. When he looks at you, he says, I am proud of you. When he looks at you, he says, I forgive you. When he looks at you, he says, I accept you. When he looks at you and I, he says, man, I see a beautiful creation. He is our Abba Father. It's a term of endearment. The Spirit himself, what? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is why you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why you must walk in your filling of the Holy Spirit every day, because am I walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit's job to what? To bear witness that what? That we are children of God. That when I walk in the Holy Spirit every day, it's the Holy Spirit who's reminding me, you're a child of God. Because you know what? When I go home this Thanksgiving, I'm going to have a flood of memories going on in my mind. And some of you are thinking, I don't even want to have dinner with that family. I don't even want to have dinner with this part of the family. I don't want to do this and that. And you got all, some of you have already got those things working up in your mind. You know what I'm talking about. The crazy cousin is going to come. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Who's going to ask me for money this time? You know what I'm talking about. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And you've already got this anxiety worked up. You know what? It's the Holy Spirit is going to remind you that we are children of God. And if you have a new family, yeah, you're going to have a family there. You're going to go and you're going to embrace them. You're going to love them. You're going to kiss them. And you're going, yeah, it's all good. When you get in the van going home, you're like, whoo, I'm glad to be going that way from here. But it's the Spirit that reminds me that I don't just have a crazy family here on earth, but I got a solid Heavenly Father. I'm adopted to the family. I'm adopted to the family of God. I'm adopted to the family of God. And that can't be broken. You see, there's something about adoption that you got to know is that when you're adopted, you can never lose your inheritance. You know that? That once you're adopted into that family and they write you into the will, that as a father, you know, if I adopt somebody, I can take my own kids and I can write them out of the will. They pick me up. You're out of here, you know? You're not getting anything. If I have an adopted child, legally, I can't do that. Legally, I cannot write them out of my will. Do you realize that? As an adopted child, you can't, legally cannot be written out of their will. That's what God reminds us that we are children of God. We receive our inheritance from Him. Look what Psalms 27:10 says. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will what? Receive me. We said this a while ago, and we're saying it again. It's the Lord who receives us. It's the Lord who receives us. Wow. As we head this weekend, as we head and we look at that and we think about that, the Lord who receives us. The Old Testament shouts out that God is holy. We've been looking at it. The Old Testament just shouts out God is holy, that He is all-powerful, that He is all-knowing, that He is present everywhere, that He has all knowledge, He is all-sovereign. The Old Testament shouts out these things to us. But what does the New Testament shout out to us? The New Testament is shouting out to us what? That God longs to be our Father. That's what the New Testament is saying, that God longs to be our Father, that He affirms us, that He accepts us, that He forgives us, that He redeems us, that He heals us, that He loves us unconditionally. He brings mercy to us. This is what the New Testament is shouting out to you and I, that we are adopted into a family of God. And that we don't lose our inheritance with Him, but He loves us. Christ has paid the price for us that we might be adopted into His family. Not only as He now is God Almighty, but also as what? Not only adopted into the family of God Almighty, but we're adopted to the family that He is what? Abba, Father in our life. That He is Dad. We get that today. Look what 1 John chapter 3. Skip to that one. How great is the love the Father has what lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. How great a love that our Father has what? He has lavished His love on you and I. Man, our Father is spoil. He wants to spoil you. You know that? Your Heavenly Father wants to spoil you. He wants to lavish you with so much love. He has given His love for you. He's died for you. He's given up so much for you and I. And He's saying, listen, I'm just waiting, man. I'm here. I'm ready. I am ready to love you. I'm ready to bring the affirmation you need in your life. I'm ready to bring acceptance in your life. I'm ready to bring encouragement. I'm ready to bring what you're looking for in bad relationships, what you're looking for in addiction, what you're looking for in all these different things. God says, I am ready to bring wholeness to you. I'm ready to be Abba in your life, Daddy. But you got to come to me. And you got to quit comparing Him to your earthly father. He's not your earthly dad. He said He will never leave you or forsake you. He would always be there. Your earthly father remembers when you broke the lamp in third grade. Your earthly father remembers when you wrecked the car at 16. Your earthly father remembers the mistakes you made, and even though they forgive you, they still have a record of it. Our Heavenly Father erases those things from us. And He accepts us and says, what are you talking about? I erase those things. I throw them to the sea of forgetfulness. How great is our God's love? He lavishes it on us. And this is what we are, children of God. So what are you searching for? What have you been searching for? your whole life from a father figure? That's the question I have for you, each one of us. What are you searching for from a father figure? Today, some of you got a lot of things in your mind and heart already you're thinking of. What are you searching for from a father that you never really got? Was it acceptance? Was it discipline? Was it security? What are you really looking for? What are the things that you are really looking for in the darkness of your soul that you say, I need these things to be complete in my life? These are things I'm lacking. I say today, these are the things that you need to learn to look for in your Heavenly Father. He's the Abba Father. He's learning and wanting to give them to you and I. You and I don't have to live the way because what? Because we had a tough past doesn't mean we have to live in a way that says, you know what, God can't be real in my life. Because I had but Pastor, you don't know how tough my past was. You're right, I probably don't. But God does, and He loves you anyway. And He wants to heal your heart in a way no psychologist, no heart surgeon can ever do. God wants to bring to you wholeness. Wholeness. He wants to bring to you healing mentally, spiritually, physically, emotional healing to your life. He wants you to experience not only the Father as a great and mighty God, but He wants you to experience the Father as Abba Father, Dad, who embraces you, who affirms you, who brings to you the affirmation that we so desire and need. When God gives you a breakthrough in your life, when He starts you on this journey, that many times we start on this journey, but we begin to reject because I'm rejecting God, what He's wanting to do in my life and taking me on a journey of learning this Abba Father, because we reject it because we just can't connect with Him because I never connected with my Father. And I say to you today, don't worry. Don't worry. I guarantee you, He's coming to you already. He's there already. He's wanting to connect with you. He's wanting to connect spiritually and emotionally with you. Your Abba Father is wanting to connect with you. And even if you never connected with your earthly Father, your Heavenly Father still wants to connect with you. And I see no greater story that Jesus taught us about the Father than we see in Luke chapter 15. We see a story about the prodigal son, about how the prodigal son had this prodigal living. He went to his father, and we know the story about how he said, Dad, give me everything I have coming to me right now, my inheritance. And he went out, and he blew it all on prostitutes, on drugs, on wild party living. He blew it all. Found himself feeding the pigs and working for a pig farmer, trying to eat the feed that he gives the pigs. That's all he was eating. And finally, he came to his senses and said, man, I got to go home. I got to ask my dad to forgive me. At least then maybe he'll hire me as a servant. And as I go home and he hires me as a servant, at least I can eat better there. I know I'm no longer worthy to be called a son because I abandoned him. I pretty much spit in his face and I just walked away from him and every advice he'd ever given me, every wisdom he'd ever given me. And I just told him, get out of my face, man. And I took my thing and left. And as I come crawling back, I'm going to say, Dad, forgive me. Dad, forgive me. I've got to do this. And look what Scripture says happens. And so he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. I love that last part that says he ran to his son. Because think about this. Where in Scripture did we see God ever in a hurry? You ever think about it? Where in Scripture do we ever see God in a hurry? Really? I mean, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. God, you want me to take how long? You're going to take 100. What, you want me to build this ark? It's going to take me 100. How many years? Yeah, you're going to do it. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Any day now, God. No, I'm going to wait till you're over 100, Abraham. Okay? Don't worry about it. You're going to be over 100. But I'm going to give it to you. Think of Joseph. Joseph, you're going to be back one day. I'm going to put you in the head. You got a vision. You know you're going to be ruler. But you're going to spend 7 years here in this prison. Oh, if that's not good enough, here's another 7 years. Oh, if that's not good enough, here's some longer time. God, any day now. Any day now, God. Any day now, God, you can do this thing. Think about Moses in the desert. God, I know the promised land's not far from here. Yeah, Moses, I'm getting you there. Don't worry. I'll get you there, Moses. Don't worry. God, any day now. You're about 39 years away, son. God just never gets in a hurry, does he? It says a day is what is a thousand years to God, and sometimes we think that's literal, don't we? Maybe we don't know. I mean, we just think, man, God just takes his time. God never gets in a hurry about anything, we see. God took his time. Took his time sending his son here on earth to redeem us after Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He took his time. God is never in a hurry. And the only time in Scripture we see where God was in a hurry, it says in this story here, when the Father, who represents God, saw his son coming, it says that he took off and he ran. And he ran. That God runs to you and I. You know the one thing that moves God? It's you and I. That one of his children, we come home and say, Abba, Dad, I'm ready for a relationship with you. I'm tired of trying to do things on my own. I'm tired of trying to connect and get affirmation from other things in the world. God, I'm ready to come to you. And it says that God runs to us. He runs to us. He finds us and he embraces us and he kisses us. God runs to us. He runs to us. Today I want you to hear this song. It's an old song, I know some of you heard before, but I want you to hear this song in closing today. I'm going to come back and give you a few more things in closing. Let's listen to the words of this song this morning.
I feel the presence of the Lord moving still. There's a song that we sang many years ago. I don't even know, where did you find this song?
Well, this song actually was recorded many years ago by a young man named Benny Hester. And I begged these guys to do this song for two or three albums. And like knuckleheads, they wouldn't listen to me. But this song has a tremendous, powerful message. And I've known people that thought somehow they had walked beyond God's grace. It's a wonderful thing to know that he reaches us no matter where we go, and his love reaches for us. His hand is extended. And I want you to listen to the words of this song tonight. If you maybe walked into this building and feel a long ways from your Heavenly Father.
Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, son, do you know I still love you? He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I'd broken his heart, and I wondered then if things could ever be the same. Then one night I remembered his love for me, and so down that dusty road ahead I could see it was the only time. It was the only time I ever saw him run. And then he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, my son, come home. and he brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw him run to me. I was so ashamed, all alone, and so far.
Over right now to the person who's next to you, and I want you to take them by the hand, if you could do that. Because the three of us are pastors and ministers, and we recognize when the Holy Spirit is moving in an audience. And in an audience of this size, we know that there are people here, that that song was just for you.
Today we know our Father runs to us. He runs to us. Our Abba Father, not the great God Almighty. I'm talking about our Abba Father, our dad, our spiritual dad. He runs to us and he embraces us. Today, maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, this whole thing about the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father, I'm learning and I want to grow, but I believe if you don't have this one thing right here, the rest of the dots won't connect together. Because you've got to be able to let go of anything that's happened in your past and say, God, I want to accept you for who you are, my Abba Father. I don't want to see you through eyes of my spiritual parents or lack of a father or abusive, whatever it was. But I want to learn to see you as a father who runs to me, embraces me with grace, affirmation, with mercy, with encouragement, with beauty on his lips, forgiveness in his heart and hands. I want to learn to see you the way you really are. Today, if you're here, and I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads, I'm just going to ask you today, Pastor, today I need to let go. I need to let go of some things so I can move into a deeper relationship with my Father. That's you today. Maybe you've had something in your past, from a past childhood with your father or mother. Doesn't mean anything today other than say, Pastor, I've allowed some things to hold me back from walking into a fullness with relationship with my Father the way I should because of something that's happened, some hurt in my past, some things that disappointed me in my past that kept me from walking and seeing God the way fully I should. If that's you today, can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me? Thank you. Yeah, several hands going up. That's me, Pastor. That's what I want you to do. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I believe today's your day. I believe today's your day. And I'm going to ask you to stand just where you're at right now. Those who raise your hands, just stand where you're at. All around the room. Today, I'm standing with you today. Okay, I'm standing with you today. I've got some things that I need to let go. Some things I need to let go in my life. If you raised your hand today, I want you to stand and say, Pastor, today I'm ready to receive affirmation from my Father today. Doesn't mean your parents were horrible parents. It should just be simple things. And some of you, maybe you had some really bad things in your life. But today's your day. You say, I'm ready to see God in a new light. I'm ready to let that past go today. I'm ready to get past my parental hangover. And I want to learn to walk in a relationship with God. It's open. It's open. It's full of seeing God in the full beauty of Abba Father that He truly is to me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stretch my hands through you today. And I believe the Spirit of God is going to touch you even right now today. He's going to deliver you today. I believe that today the Holy Spirit is very real here this morning. And I believe today that God is going to do something in your life today, right now, through this prayer. So today, if you're by somebody, you can just stretch your hands toward them right now. Does everybody just kind of stretch your hands toward somebody near you? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, that you are Abba Father. And God, you are the God who does things in our life, Lord. And today, Lord, we see that there are many of us here, many of us here today, have had things happen in our life that have stopped us from seeing you fully, trusting you fully, and having a relationship with you fully as God, Abba Father. Whether it's a hurt from our own childhood, our own life, whether our father was not there, whether he was abusive, or he's abandoned us, or whether he just didn't know. Even though he loved us, he just didn't know how to show us. So God, whatever it was, God, today, I believe there's freedom coming to their life. I believe through the power of your Holy Spirit today, God, there's a freedom coming to their life. I speak right now through the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Every mind, every heart, every body is being touched right now. That God, you are setting them free in Jesus' name. That God, right now, that today, when they leave here today, there's a newness coming on their life. There's a new attitude. There's a new insight. They're going to see you in a new way. No longer to see you through tinted glasses of an abused childhood or a lack of a father or abandonment. God, today they're going to see you in the beauty of Abba. Abba Daddy. Abba Father, who loves me, who runs to me, who embraces me, who kisses me and says, I affirm you, son. I affirm you, daughter. And I'm longing to have a relationship with you, which is Abba, a dad. A dad-father relationship, a dad-son, a dad-daughter. And today, God, today I know that you are setting them free, no longer to be held by baggage, no longer to be held by their past. And God, today I believe through the power of your Holy Spirit right now, with every hand stretched out right now, that God, those chains are falling off in the name of Jesus Christ. And by the name of Jesus Christ today, we speak deliverance. We speak freedom from past, freedom from our mind, freedom of our spirit, and today when we walk out of here, no longer to be held to that past in Jesus' name. No longer to be held to that in Jesus' name. A new freedom, a new affirmation, Lord, a new confidence. No longer do we have to work for it, God, today. We just walk in our Abba Father's acceptance and love and mercy. And by through the power of your Holy Spirit today, God, I believe in their spirit, the chains have been broken in Jesus' name. The chains have been broken in Jesus' name. And now we thank you. Come on, join me in a prayer and thanksgiving. Let's all stand up to our feet. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Thank you. Now, Father, we thank you today, God, that you are the God who sets us free. You are the God who sets us free from past. You are the God who sets us free because you are what? God who is Abba Father, our daddy, who runs to us in the midst of our childish mistakes, in the midst of our disappointment. God, you run to us, you embrace us. God, you accept us, you affirm us, you believe in us, you speak life, you speak encouragement, you speak affirmation, you speak to us healing, you speak to us that God, you are the God who erases the past and you right the wrongs. And I am no longer going to be a product of a childhood memory. I am no longer a product of a childhood relationship with a parent. But God, today I'm having a relationship with my spiritual dad that's better than anything I could ever experience. And God, you heal the hearts of the brokenhearted. And God, you make all things new in you. You make all things new in you. And God, today we thank you for that. God, receiving of you. God, blessing your name together. Thanking you together, God, that you are doing things in our midst, Lord, today. God, I believe it in my heart, God, this was not just no ordinary Sunday, but God, in people's lives today, there is a freedom that's coming to them that they haven't experienced in a long time. Many of them never. But God, today you are setting them free. God, today you are starting a healing process. God, and today you are starting something fresh and new in you. And it's a relationship with Abba Father. Not just Heavenly Father, but Abba Father. Dad. Dad. And you ran to me. Put your arms around me. held my head to your chest. He kissed me and embraced me. I said, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. We thank you, God, that you are Abba Father. Thank you, Father, that you are Abba Father. We thank you today, God. Truly, we are thankful for you, God. And we bless your name together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Today, I know God has done something today in many people's lives today. I believe today was a major breakthrough. Some of you today, you need to go and have a friend listen to this. MyDestinyChurch.com. Go there. Copy the link. Send it to them an email. Say, hey, go listen to the message today. You know who they are. They need to listen to this message and receive healing today of Abba Father. God bless you today. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock leadership meeting. Hug a few necks. Shake your hands around you. Can you do it? Greet one another before we leave today. And say, God bless you.